not unusual to read our Lord placing a condemnation upon a tree that has no fruit. No talking, please. That has no fruit. You recall in Luke chapter 13 that startling parable about a husbandman who had a vineyard, and he came to a particular vine, and that vine had no fruit on it. So he came back the second time, and the vine had no fruit the second time. And the third time he came back, once a year he returned. After 3 years he came back and checked the vine, and the vine had no fruit on it after 3 years. And so the husbandman said, "I'm going to cut it down. It doesn't bear fruit. I'll just cut it down." Fellas, show them where the nursery is, would you please, so they can put the baby in the nursery. So I'll just cut it down. I came 1 year, there was no fruit. I came the second year, there was no fruit. I came the third year, there was no fruit. I'll cut it down. But there was a vine dresser there who loved the vine. And he said to the husbandman, he said, "Don't cut it down now. Give me a chance. Give me a chance to get a spade and dig around the vine that has no fruit. And give me a chance to pour some fertilizer. Let me go out and put it in our language. Let me go out and get some barnyard fertilizer and pour it around it. And let me see if I can't make the vine to bear fruit." And so the husband said, "Okay, I'll give you one more year. But if when I come back at the end of that year, if this vine has no fruit," are you listening? "If this vine has no fruit on it," he said, "I'm going to cut it down." Now you listen to me. If you're saved and not bearing fruit, you better watch out. God's going to take you to heaven before long. If your name is written in heaven, you're God's child, you're born again, and you never win a soul to Christ, I mean you never go soul winning, you're going to end up in heaven one of these days prematurely. And your kids are going to have a mother in heaven, and your children are going to be orphans, or your wife's going to be a widow, or your husband's going to be a whatever husband and lose his wife. What do you call it, grass widow? Widower. What's a grass widow? Huh? A divorcee? I don't know about worldly stuff like that. Dr. Evans, I'm glad to have you here. Anyway, your husband's going to be a widower. Why? Because you weren't a soul winner. Now, you listen to me. Listen. 1 year he came, and he said, "No fruit." He came back the next year. He said, "No fruit." He came back the third year. He said, "No fruit. I'll cut it down." You know, a lot of you folks right now would be dead and gone if Jesus didn't love you enough to say, "Lord, give me another year. Give me another year." God is not pleased when his people don't bear fruit and get people saved. Go ahead. Some of you fellows, you didn't come to Sunday school this morning, did you? You laid home, read, and slept in this morning, didn't you? You read the funny papers or the sport pages or stayed home. You came dragging in an hour and a half after Sunday school started. Go ahead. One of these days, your little boys and girls are not going to have a daddy to take care of them. Go ahead. Lay out on Sunday night and rob God of the tithe and be half in and half out and be a lackadaisical Christian. Go ahead. But don't be surprised when your wife's a widow one of these days. And God comes down and says, "He's not going to bear fruit. I'm not going to let him clutter up my orchard. I'm going to cut down that vine and take him on to heaven. See if I can't put somebody else where he is." Now, you better take this seriously. God will not put up with his people not bearing fruit. Well, he says, I just come to church Sunday morning, and I don't tithe, and I don't win souls, and I've been saved for 50 years. I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it. No, the Lord said, I can recall when I was a kid, my dad would go out, get outside, and he'd take a saw, and he'd start sawing off the old peach tree in our backyard, some limbs off of it. And I'd go out, and I'd say, "Dad, what are you doing?" And Dad said, "I'm pruning the tree." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because it's not bearing any peaches." He said, "It's dead. The limb is dead." And he said, "Son, if I leave this limb on here, it'll affect the other limbs after a while." And that's what the Lord does. The Lord comes to a church like this and he sees some of you people. I mean, you enjoy the blessings, but you never cause any of them. You enjoy seeing folks walk the aisle. You never bring them down the aisle. You like to see folks baptized. You never get anybody baptized. You like to see folks saved. You never win anybody to Christ. And the Lord's going to come one of these days, and he'll say, okay, I'm going to turn him up. You know why? You'll influence other church members. You'll influence other dead branches. And the Lord says, I'll just cut him off. Now, that's not the sermon, however, this morning. It's not unusual. Don't you recall our Lord cursed the fig tree because it had no figs on it? But that's not the sermon this morning. It's a strange thing. Here, our Lord is placing not a curse, but he's placing a rebuke upon a tree, not that has no fruit, but that has no leaves. Nebuchadnezzar had carried away 9/10 of the people into Babylon, into captivity. God had left just the poor people. Nebuchadnezzar didn't want the poor people. He carried away the rich, he carried away the tradesmen, the craftsmen, but left the very poor people. And 1/10 of all the people were left in the land of Canaan as the other 9/10 went into the promised land, or in the land of Babylon, 1/10 in the promised land. But the Lord said, you folks who are left, though you're not going into captivity, he said, you're going to be like a teal tree. A teal tree is also called a terebinth tree, or better translated, a turpentine tree. They'd take a knife or a sword or a spear, and they'd pierce the side of that tree, and from that side would come forth turpentine. And the Lord said, you're like a turpentine tree. A turpentine tree was sort of an evergreen who kept its leaves unless a real storm came. It took an awful blast to blow the leaves off a turpentine tree. And the Lord said, you folks here are like a turpentine tree that's had a blast of wind and blown the leaves off of it. And the Lord said, you're like a tree with no leaves. Now, he said, you're still my people, but you have no leaves. You're still my people, but you offer no shade. You're still my people, but you give no beauty. You're still my people, but you do no good. I recall when I was a kid, we had, I mentioned a while ago, a peach tree out in the backyard. And the main purpose of that peach tree was to bear peaches. That was the big main purpose. But we used that peach tree for a lot of things. For example, it was a good shade tree. I grew up in Texas, and I've seen it 109 degrees in Texas. I've seen people fry eggs on the concrete in front of my house. No joke. That's how hot it got. You doubt me, aren't me? It hurts me when you doubt me like that. But I've seen folks fry eggs on the concrete out in front of the house. And so we'd go out in the field or backyard and play ball and get hot and sweaty and come back and be so tired. We'd sit down under the shade of the tree. Why? Because it had peaches? No, because it had leaves. And we'd use the tree for other things. We'd use it for a swing. We'd get a rope and hang it over, tie it over the limb and get a board and make a swing out of the tree. All right? We'd get an old tire and hang that tire from the limb of a tree and we'd make a swing out of the tire. I feel sorry for you poor young people who grow up in this generation. You got to go down to Toys R Us to buy your toys and Sears and Roebuck toy department. We just use an old tire and make a swing out of it. A tire, think of all the things you could tie for. You could swim with it. And the inner tube, you get an inner tube out of it and fix it. You could use that for something to float on. And you could use a tire to push it down a hill. Listen, we had tires when I was a kid like you have dogs nowadays. Here comes a boy in his tire. I feel sorry for you. And we'd put we'd hang a tire on a limb underneath the creek where we'd swim. So what kind of swimming suits did you have? You tend to your business and I'll tend to mine. I'll say there were less than bikinis, but we boys would get out there in our, and then we'd swim and we'd run and jump and get inside that tire and swing across that tire across the creek in that tire, and then two of us would get on it. We'd have a fight, and the guy lost got knocked off in the creek, but now we'd use that old tree for a tire. of many things the tree was used for. My mother would use it for certain things I would not like to discuss. I don't like to remember, but I bear in my body the marks of what my mother used it for. Used it for switches back in the days when parents spanked the children and when parents were in charge at home before Dr. Spock came on the scene. God bless his wicked, ignorant soul. And God rest it in peace as soon as possible. But we'd use it for a house. Or you wish Mr. Spock would die? And you are too if you got any sense. And you wish all his books would burn. And hope he gets born again before he goes to hell. But anyway, back in the days when parents had some fortitude and parents ran the house and dads spanked the kids and mamas cared enough for kids to spank them. And my mama'd use the old peach tree limb and she'd spank me with the peach tree. But that isn't all. We'd use it to climb in. We'd climb in the tree. But that isn't all. I had a house up in the peach tree. You say a house up in the tree? Sure. We'd build a tree house. Oh, honestly, you kids miss so much today. Of course, nowadays, you have to have a building permit from the welfare department to do it. But anyway, we'd build a house up in the peach tree. And I'd go up in the house. And many other things we'd use it for. Our peach tree was also third base on the ball diamond. First base was a little fence post over here on this side. Second base, well, I don't think you'd want to know what second base was. It was out in the cows were out there in that part. And I'll give you a hint. They had to get hard before you could use it for a second base. And you didn't like to slide into second base at all. But anyway, second base was that. Third base was the old peach tree. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying we'd use the peach tree for many, many, many different things. If we were tired, we'd sit in the shade of the tree. And if we were sweaty, we'd sit in the shade of the tree. The Lord comes along and he says to his people, well, he said, you haven't got any fruit, now you haven't got any leaves. He said, I wish you could provide some shade for people. He said to those people that were left, the remnant of one-tenth of people, he said, you left here in Canaan now in the promised land, but he said, you're not worth anything to anybody anymore. Oh, you're still my people, but you have no shade. Oh, you're still my people, but nobody delights in you anymore. Yeah, you're still my people, but nobody enjoys being around you. You're still my people, but you never comfort anybody anymore. You're still my people, but you never bring any joy and delight and happiness to anybody anymore. Your trees, without any leaves, or nothing but limbs on the tree. We often get like that. Now, we need to bear fruit, and that's important. We also need to have leaves. You know, I think there's a certain kind of a byproduct to the gospel that's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm for soul winning. Anybody doesn't know that's got a hole in his head or been asleep. But I'm for soul winning. But there are other things besides soul winning that are brought by soul winning churches. I hope when you come here on Sunday morning, you see people saved. I hope you get some delight. I hope maybe that somebody this morning who had a burden, and when I told about second base, I hope you forgot your burden for a little bit. Second base was my burden when I was a boy, but I hope you forgot your burden a little bit. And I hope I bring shade to you when you're tired. I hope there's somebody here this morning that has a heavy heart that finds a little sitting under the leaves of the tree here, the ministry here. I hope there's some comfort brought to you and some joy brought to you and some peace brought to you and some security brought to you and some cheer brought to you and some hope brought to you and some faith brought to you because of it. I was thinking last night, no, it was Friday night. I want to go out to the college all day Friday. They're having a big shindig. I hope a shindig is the right word. They had a big blowout or a big blast. I'm trying to get to your own... A hoedown, is that, that's not, shindig is better than hoedown? What's a hoedown? Huh? A dance. Anybody's got a suit like that on, probably been to a dance on Saturday night. But anyway, I told Brother John this morning, I bet the horse is cold, he got that blanket off of it he's wearing this morning. But anyway, they had a big thing out the college, and I wanted to go. But, man, I want to go just drive out. And some of the folks said, won't you come out? Now, I I had appointments Friday night and couldn't go, and had appointments, just couldn't find time to go out. And I got thinking Friday night, I'm glad I can be happy without a hoedown. Don't misunderstand me. I'm in a shindig. Pardon me. I'm going to learn some of these terms. But I'm glad. Now, I'm not against going to ball games. But if I can't go, I'm glad I can be happy without a ball game. I like sports, but I'm glad I don't have to go to a ball game to be happy. I like football, but I haven't been to a football game in years. I'm as happy as I've been to a football game. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if God's people get the place to where that the leaves of the gospel and the leaves of the church and the leaves of services like this could bring all the joy we need. I was sitting up in Minnesota the other day, and I was outside a little while studying in a room. And I was just outside the door, a little porch out of the room, and I was studying. And I got looking out, and I saw a little leaf blowing across the yard. And I got to watching that little leaf. And it'd blow a little bit, and it'd blow more. So I decided to go out and try to catch it. And so I'd reach for it, and it'd jump. I'd reach again, and the leaf would say, that preacher can't catch me. I'm going to keep him running all the time. And so I preached, and it blew a little bit more. I think the Lord said to the Holy Spirit, cause the wind to blow. Howells needs his exercise. And so I got laughing, and I got talking to that leaf. Hey, come here, you little rascal, you. And I had more fun, just me and the little leaf, and all the way to Westville I went. And but anyway, and I got thinking how simple happiness really is. I wrote this little poem. It's called Happiness. I went afield to seek for bliss. Alas, 'twas true I sought amiss. The lesson that I learned is this, that home is found true happiness. Not in the ruins of Caesar's Rome, but on the streets right near my home. Not on the walks of Gay Paris, but playing horsey with my knee. Not on the isles of ancient Greece, but in the isles that church with peace. Not on the shores of Titus Crete, but playing ball across the street. Not in the paths of olden Troy, but watching for the paper boy. Not setting forth on distant sail, but opening the Daily Mail. Not in the jewels of Israel, but in pennies in a wishing well. Not on the shores of tropic bliss, but in a baby's slobbery kiss. A meal, a bird, a smile, a look, the leisure reading of a book. Fresh popcorn with a tasty scorch, the daily paper on the porch. The sunset's view, the rose's scent, the common day-by-day event. A breakfast, dinner, supper too, the comfort of a soft old shoe. An autumn night, a crisp blue sky, a waving friend who passeth by. A singing bird upon a limb, the smell of grass when fresh and trim. To touch a cup with eager lip and a slurp when no one hears you sip. A child's sweet pat upon the cheek, a hymn to sing at end of week. To sop thick gravy with warm bread, to wiggle weary toes in bed. You need not seek your bliss afar, for happiness is where you are. And I feel sorry for you people. Got to have an excitement a week or a day to make you happy. If you got a new dress, you're happy. If you got an old dress, you're unhappy. If it's sunshiny, you're happy. If it's cloudy, you're unhappy. If the car is clean, you're happy. If the car is dirty, you're unhappy. I'd be unhappy all the time. And if you got money in your pocket or purse, you're happy. If you haven't, you're unhappy. And if you got everything exactly right, you can be happy. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know what I want to be? I want to have the kind of tree that has fruit, yes, but I want some leaves. Brother Fisk, I want you sometimes when you're tired to come under me, and I want you to rest in the leaves of my limbs. And Brother Sully, sometimes when you get discouraged, I want you to be able to come to church, and maybe you're a little blue, and I want you maybe to feel a little happier because the leaves of the tree have given you shade. And Brother Boardway, sometime when things aren't going real well, one of the days when Mabel's in a bad mood, I understand it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, isn't it? But Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, you're not at home. I hope sometimes when Mabel's been an unusual fright, Brother Boardway envies me. His wife types my letters, and I talk to her all the time, and she never gets to talk back. Never, never, never. Brother Bob may buy you a dictaphone machine and talk to her. But anyway, maybe I hope when you come sometime and the load's a bit heavy, I hope maybe you forget about it. And you get under the shade of the leaves spread over you and you get a little happy. Dr. Evans, I hope sometime when the load's a little heavy at school, I hope maybe you can come to church and maybe the leaves, not the fruit alone, but the leaves. Maybe some of you folks need security. You don't. Maybe you lost your job. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. I hope maybe sometimes you can come to church and just sit under the leaves and be refreshed by the Word of God and by the truth of God and by the preacher and by the church. I say there's a way you can be happy. The leaves are not as important as the fruit, but they're important. We get so excited sometimes, I think, about preaching that the leaves do not... the leaves do not save, that we forget the leaves are important. We get so excited sometimes preaching that fruit is the most important thing, we forget the leaves are important. I think these byproducts are so important. I think those of us who are God's children ought to have the kind of foliage on our limbs so as folks will be refreshed when they get around us. Hey, when you walk in at work, do they all run away or run towards you? Do they say, oh boy, here comes that nut again? Or do they say, here's a fella, I like to be around him? I was thinking last night about all the shade trees I've had through these years. I don't know why. I got thinking about the old members I had years ago. I got thinking about old Brother Farner. I don't know why I did. God bless him. He was a member of my church in Marshall, Texas, out in the country, and he never stayed awake all during the sermon. Remind me of Al Gomez and John Olson. And who else? My Sleeping Beauties, I've noticed in this morning that they just woke up. But he slept all. He's the only man I ever had. Went to sleep standing up one time. He stood up for prayer, and after the prayer was over, he was standing up, leaning against the wall, sound asleep. And I had to stop the service. Somebody put Mr. Varner to bed, and God bless him. He ran an old store. It was an old country store. They sold everything from cheese to women's underwear, everything you'd imagine they sold up there. They sold everything from men's undershirts to tires for a car, an old-fashioned country general store. And you know what the biggest time of the day was? When the preacher came. And it was on the way to town. I'd drive to town, always stopped by Mr. Varner's old store. And I'd drive in, and I'd hear Mr. Varner, hey, the preacher's here. And boy, the excitement of the preacher being there. And I'd go back, and I'd go behind the meat counter, and get me a knife, and reach in and get the bologna out, as in the days before I got sanctified. I'd get the bologna out, and I'd slice me some bologna. And you say, you mean you can do that? Yeah, he wanted me to. I'd slice me some bologna. And then I'd get the hunk of cheese out, that old rubbery kind of cheese that bounces back at you when you eat it. And I'd get the cheese out, I'd whack a bit off that, and Mr. Varner'd say, hey, preacher, pick out a tie! And about that time, he'd call out, and he'd say, Dad, hey, Dad! Dad Fur, he worked for him. He was the fella that put the gas in the tank. He was 88 or 90 years old. And here's how he walked. Old Dad Fur. Hey! In the PA room, I hate to bother you, but I need you. If somebody had stood up there, it sure would have helped and ride gain on this thing. So old Dad Varner, he sat on a bench like this, when you came to get some gas, you had to have an hour off, or you couldn't get gas from Dad Fur, because old Dad Fur he gets up with the numbers. And then he'd walk out to your car, and here's the way he walked. but he loved me, and I loved him. I think nowadays I preach three sermons while he's filling the car. But I only had a few members, and I could go by and see every one of them every week. What a happy time it was. But you know, never left Mr. Varner. He's been in heaven. Dad Fur, he's on his way to heaven. It'll take him 4 years to get there. and then if you didn't have the exact change. So, Dad, take your pen. Walk back in. And that's the only place I ever saw nobody ever went without exact change. It didn't end at that time. But I was thinking last night, don't know why, but I was thinking about that old store. And I was only 20, 21, 22, 23 years of age. But what delight I got from going there. And how the leaves, that dear old man of God, he wasn't a smart man. And he wasn't a rich man. But he loved his preacher. It would have been a sin. A sin. A sin for the preacher to go in the store and him not give him something that he had in the store. Mr. Walker, where are you? He's the vice president of Hoosier Bank. And I hope you get that lesson I'm trying to teach you this morning. When I come to Hoosier Bank, it'd be a sin if you'd have to give me something that you have there in the store. But I was thinking about him. And then you'll let me just sort of be a little vain for a while. I was thinking about some of you dear people under whose limbs I've found shade through these years. I wrote down a few folks last night. I was thinking about the first Sunday I was pastor of this church. Oh, if there's ever a fella lonely and discouraged and blue, it was me. And I was thinking about walking down in the basement of the old building that burned, and a little lady walked up to me, and she had what I think was the prettiest smiles I'd ever seen. And Iva Mae Smith made me feel so at home. And I was thinking about how many times through these 16 years that the leaves of her smile on her limbs have, and how that the branches as they've hovered have given me so much comfort and joy. I was thinking about how many times I've gone to funerals. And maybe a funeral home, Brother John, you've done this many times too. By the way, you remind me of old Ed Fur, you know that? But anyway, I was thinking about how many times I've gone to funerals here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I didn't know anybody was there, maybe. And look out and see Hazel Ruskowski and Ava Mae Smith coming in. Almost all the funerals they go to. And I've thought about how many times I've been refreshed by that. And I've thought about how many times in a sermon I need a little inspiration. I'd look back and see Miss Ramsey all puckered up back there crying, nodding her head, and how refreshing the breezes are that blow through the branches there. And I was thinking about these men up in the baptismal dressing room. I miss baptizing on Sunday morning. I envy you fellows get to baptize on Sunday morning. We have more fun up there than what an enjoyment it is to go up there and hear all the insults. The other day, Brother Mystic's little boy, Jack, was up there. We had a chute way up there that where we throw the laundry down. And I put him in the chute. And he couldn't get through because he's got a big fat stomach. And, he's got a large avidipar. And, he's well built. Dr. Rice says well upholstered. And so I took his shoe off and dropped it down there. And sometimes the same thing, I'll get maybe Larry Stromberg, because it'd take one ten times that big for Larry to get through, and act like I'm going to throw him down or something. And I was thinking about how many times I'm refreshed on a Sunday night by those men as the shade of their branches because of the leaves on their trees bring delight and bring joy. I was thinking about other people. I was thinking about Sergeant Miles, God bless him. And these men that protect me as I walk out of my office. It's raining this morning. Walked out of my office. There was John Olson. God bless him. He said, "Preacher, you need a raincoat." I wasn't going to be in the alley but 2 or 3 minutes or seconds. Need a raincoat? I was going to walk my office down here. And need a raincoat? And I said, "No, I need a hat." Of course, when it rains and my head gets wet, both of my hair stick together. And I need a hat. And don't you see what I'm trying to say? Don't you see how refreshed I was because of the leaves on the branches? The Lord said to the folks in Israel, said, "Good night, you're here and you're my people, but you don't bless anybody anymore. You don't encourage anybody anymore. You don't cheer anybody anymore. You don't comfort anybody anymore. I hate to live that kind of life. Just save and that's all." every once in a while somebody say, "Look, you go to hell if you dance." No, you won't go to hell if you dance, but you won't have any limbs on your tree or leaves on your limbs. You won't be a blessing to anybody. There's more to the Christian life than just getting out of hell. There's more to the Christian life than just a fire insurance policy. Why don't you try to comfort somebody, or cheer somebody, or strengthen somebody, or encourage somebody? Our Lord said, "I want some fruit on your tree," but He said, "I want more than that. I want some limbs on your tree." This morning, coming down, what did the fellows coming down say this morning? I forget what it was, but we're always cutting up, coming down the alley. And they're my bodyguards. And Sergeant Miles is always kidding, and the fellows out there, we're kidding each other. And I walk down, and I often say to Sergeant Miles, "If a guy jumped out with a gun, you'd run as fast. I'd have to first catch you and then get your gun and protect you." And but that kind of a thing. What is the life you're living today? What is the message it bears on its way? Others are waiting. What does it say? What is your life today? Is it a beacon to guide the way? Is it like sunrise that brings a new day? Does it help others over life's way? What is your life today? You know, there are some people in this church, I'd go out of the way just to hear, have them speak to me. I'd go out of the way just to have them hear, just hear them say hello. Because it seems like every time I get around them, it's like being under the shade, or in the shade of some branches. I was thinking last night about Mrs. Ewing. God bless her. She worries about me, and I can get the least little something wrong, and she'll write me a letter, and she frets. And how many times I've been encouraged. I'll say sometimes, you know, "I know I'm not the greatest preacher in the world," and I'll get three or four letters that'll say, "Yes, you are too." So I'm going to say it right now. But what is it? That's the leaves that hover. And, you know, God wants us to be soul winners, but God wants us to refresh people too. God wants us to bear fruit, but God wants us to have some leaves on the branches too. God wants us to get folks saved, but God wants us to be a delight to people too, and a joy to people, and an encouragement to people. I was thinking about old John Finley. God bless him. He's not very pretty and not very smart. But I'm refreshed by the leaves he grows on his branches. I recall that night he got up here to sing, and I said, and John was much bigger then. He was a great big fat guy then. And so I said, "Come on up here, Slim, and sing for us." And John said, "Thank you, Bushy," and began to sing. But there are good things about him, too. But I was thinking, what would we be without people like that? Oh, yes, everybody ought to be a soul winner, but we ought to bring some joy to each other. Everybody ought to be a soul winner. We ought to bring some comfort to each other. Everybody ought to be a soul winner, bear fruit. But we ought to have leaves like grace and courtesy and kindness and decency and refreshment. I was thinking last night about the notes I get under the door and the little encouragements I get under the door. And see little fingers under the sticking notes under my door. And there'll be I love you and a bunch of X's and a bunch of zeros. X's are kisses, and then zeros are hugs. And then sometimes I catch those little girls in the hallway, and I get those kisses and hugs. Now, understand, they're under six. I won't kiss anybody unless they're under six or over 60. But as you know, I've raised that to 70 because these 60-year-olds looking better and better to me all the time these days. So I've got to raise that now to 70. But in your case, Brother John, I'd raise it to 80 if I were you. But anyway, such an encouragement, and what a blessing. That little girl on my birthday, sweet little girl, little easy girl, that her mother taught her to say, "Happy birthday, Brother Hiles." She didn't know why. And so now, for months and months, every time she sees me, she says, "Happy birthday, Brother Hiles," every time. That's her hello. What is that? That's leaves on the limbs. Now, by the way, did you know what? Did you know that under the old peach tree, if you sat there long enough under the leaves, you'd get to where you'd eat the fruit? I mean, I'd go out not to eat the fruit, but just to sit and enjoy the shade. But you sat under there long enough, you know the fruit looks a lot better after you've been under the leaves for a while. He'd walk out, knock on doors. Hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't get born again. Now, why don't you just get some leaves on your limb while you're going soul winning? You'll get a lot more folks saved if they can be refreshed under the shade and cool and enjoyment of the branches that are filled with foliage and leaves. You'll make folks want your fruit better if you've got the leaves. If I went out today to a peach tree to get me a peach and want a leaf on the tree, I'm not sure I'd want to eat the peach. I suspicion something's wrong with it. What's wrong with being kind? What's wrong with being courteous? What's wrong with speaking to folks when you see them on the street? What's wrong with waving to folks when you see them in the car? What's wrong with sitting down somewhere on a plane or a train and talking to the fellow next to you? What's wrong? I recall on an airplane, I got a young lady saved. She wouldn't have eaten the fruit. It was a stewardess. And I walked in. She came up and said, "What do you want to drink?" I said, "Some living water." She said, "What kind of a drink is that?" I said, "Living water? You know, it sort of sounds like a martini or something." And she said, "I don't think we have that." And I said, "I have it." I told her how to be saved, but she didn't like it. She got a little huffy. And she was coming back later down the aisle, and all she had a bunch of Bloody Marys and wounded Susies and all of them, you know, just carrying them. And all of a sudden, we had an air pocket, and the plane was jarred, and she tripped. You know what she poured all over me? Huh? You guessed it. I had whiskey and beer and wine and vodka. She just poured stuff all over me. And when I came back to the office, I was afraid. I was afraid to walk in. I was sure. And I won't tell you what happened. I will say, Brother Sully got my coat and wrung it out. And what to do with it, I don't know. But anyway, she said, "Oh, of all people on the plane, I had to spill this on a reverend." And I said, "You couldn't help it." She said, "You're not mad?" Well, I said, "I'm not real happy, and I've known brighter days." But I said, "You couldn't help it." She said, "You're not going to kill me?" I said, "No, I'm going to choke you till you can't breathe a while, but I'm not going to kill you." And she said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it." And I said, "Well, look, you couldn't help it at all. And I'm not mad, of course." And so as I got off the plane, I was the last one off, and I off the plane. She said to me, she said, "You're the nicest and kindest man's ever ridden on this plane." And I said, "I can tell you something that makes me that way." And she said, "What?" And I said, "Remember what I told you a while ago? I told you about Jesus and how he loved you. And did you know that she sat down beside me there on the plane and bowed her head and sweetly with tears received Christ?" Now, you know, she wouldn't eat the fruit before she sat under the shade. No, she wouldn't eat the fruit till she was refreshed with the leaves. I know a lot of people in this room this morning that need to ask God to give you some leaves.